Good to see you this morning. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, that He got us up this morning and brought us this way. Always a pleasure to be in church for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You've heard the phrase before, "You bit off more than you can chew." It seems like that the more I look at this, the more I study it, I bit off more than I can chew. But we're going to do the best we can as we continue to look, as we look at the way the Holy Spirit works in the Old Testament with individuals, where it came on and then departed when God got the job at hand accomplished. And then for some reason or another, it just popped in my mind, how about the nation of Israel? You know, when we look at where we are today in the dispensation of grace, and when each one of us are saved, we have the Holy Spirit that comes in and reigns within our heart. And we certainly have a daily guide. But how about the nation of Israel? And this week in studying, they had the equivalent of the Holy Spirit. Something I never seen before. Never thought of it in, per se, as to when it occurred and how it occurred and what it did. So I want to kind of look at that together today as we study. And we're going to begin in Exodus, and we're going to begin in chapter number 5 in the book of Exodus as we look at this together. We'll bow with us in a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with our study, Lord willing. We thank you, Lord, again today. Oh, you're so kind and so good and so gracious and so merciful. Lord, I just don't know how an individual in the world we live in today gets along without you. But Lord, I'm certainly thankful that I have you to lean on. Someone, Lord, who loves me, and someone, Lord, who can meet my needs and knows every need that I have. And how wonderful it is to know you as our Lord and our Master. And Lord, as we gather today, we're again in a situation that we within ourselves can absolutely do nothing but bring honor and glory and praise to you. But by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish that you would have us to accomplish. So Lord, we'd ask now that you would come down and be with us in a special way today. Open your precious word to us. Oh, it's so precious and so good. Lord, may we feed on it today. Thank you again for those who are present and those who are listening in. We ask you to bless through the further exercise of this day. Lord, again, we lift up those who have special needs. Ask that you touch, work your will and your way in their lives, and mold us to accept your will. And we do ask this in the precious name of your Lord, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Exodus, in chapter number 5. Now, we have looked at Moses and the burning bush and the call that God called him to. Ask you a question. Who led the children of Israel out of Egypt in bondage? Who what? Okay. Now, I'm glad that it was God, because Moses, like we are, he'd have made a mess of it. And we looked at him, and the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush and told him what he wanted to do. And then we saw in the latter part of the fourth chapter, he had all them reasons he couldn't do it, and two major ones. And in verse number 14 of that chapter, it's kind of a bad way to be in, because it said the Lord was angry with him. But he's still a forgiving God. And even though he is angry with him, he said, I got somebody coming to help you. I already got this taken care of, and there's going to come, and you're going to do all these signs and wonders. And we talked about in verse number 17, it talks about signs. In verse number 28, it talks about signs. And now we're getting down, and you say, what in the world does all this have to do with Holy Spirit? We'll get there. I wanted to kind of lay this groundwork and remind you that the nation of Israel, the Jews, in other words, said they required a what? A sign. And we see through this that as God dealt with the nation of Israel, he used signs. But he used tremendous signs, and he used one permanent sign. So let's look together today. In chapter number 5, officials start dealing with Pharaoh. Things are together. If you look at 29, 30, and 31, where Moses and Aaron got together with the nation of Israel and told them about all they're going to do and the signs that they're going to do in the sight of the people, and the people believe. And then it says, and they bowed their heads in worship. Chapter number 5, verse number 1, and it says, after Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said what? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now, boy, he made one true statement of that when he said, I know not the Lord. Who is it that I'm going to worry about him? Well, he's fixing to find out who he is that he might worry about him. And it said, and they said, the Lord of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword. And of course, we know the story that they began to do all those signs and of miracles before Pharaoh. Now, if we go in the latter part of this chapter, in chapter number 5, verse number 23, Moses, as we looked, he performs, he tells Pharaoh these things to let him go, and then we know that because of that, what did Pharaoh do? He just made the task for the nation of Israel harder. And he put more burden on them. And the work became much more intense. And in 22 of the 5th, it says, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast... What is it that thou hast done? What has sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now I want to read several verses here. And I want you to pay attention closely to I've called your attention to these words before, I and will. I want you to look, because I think it's about 17 times in just these 13 verses that you're going to hear that. And here was God's response to Moses. The Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them. I have, notice, I have, it's already done, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, and whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, this is what you tell them. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give it unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for heritage. I am the Lord. You reckon he's making it plain enough? I mean, they shouldn't be much questions, should they? And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not. You know, we're hard-headed. We are awful, awful hard-headed. The Jews are not the only hard-headed people. Because the next time you look in the mirror, you might need to think. Because we all have that nature in us. Hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am I of uncircumlips? Who am of uncircumlips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, let me go back, and I want you to look at the first verse of that sixth chapter. Then the Lord said unto who? Now, it's not what I've just read, what God said to Moses, okay? Now, I want you to look at the latter part of this. Moses spake before the Lord in verse number 12, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am I of uncircumcised lip? And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, and gave charge to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and bring the children out. Here Moses, he's questioning it too, is he not? Who am I that I can do this?
Do
You know, we forget who's in charge sometimes. If God tells you, if God calls you to do something in service to Him, you can rest assured that He's going to provide the means to do it with. Right. But you know, the old human side of us, oh, I can't do this, you know. Now, go with me to chapter number 7. Maybe go read verse number 20. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hear, hearken unto me? Still a little bit of doubt in those verses, is not. And the Lord said, and it's amazing how many times we're going to see in these scriptures, and the Lord said, hard head. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God. Now I want you to look at this. That's not capital. He says, I've made you a God to somebody. Who have I made you a God to? He said, I've made you a God to Pharaoh. And Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. I've made you a God. I made you a little God. But to Pharaoh, you end up going to be something. And that guy that's speaking for you is going to be something too. Because he's going to be like, to Pharaoh, it's going to be like me speaking to you, and then Aaron speaking what I've told you to tell Aaron to speak to the children of Israel. And it's going to end up to Pharaoh, it's going to be like you're God before Pharaoh, and he's your prophet. Because he's going to get the message before it's over with. And he's going to realize that you're just not an everyday individual, that you're going to be somebody that God has sent to fulfill His purpose for His people. So Pharaoh, you're going to end up being a God. He says, thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of this land. How many times does he make that statement? He's going to send them out. I'm going to get them out. They're going to be gone before it's over with. And he said, I will. And there it is again. But he tells them the job's not going to be easy, because he says, when you do something, then I'm going to do something to Pharaoh's heart. Unusual, he says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. But in the process, when I've hardened his heart, I'm going to do what? I'm going to multiply my signs. Here we are with the nation of Israel, a sign nation right on. And my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my army and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. And Egypt shall know. Yeah. And right here's the reason he hardened his heart. You watch this verse. He says, and Egypt shall what? They're going to be hard-headed enough that it's going to take all this. But I'm telling you, before it's over, Egypt is going to know something. And Egypt is going to know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Now, when they see that I've done whatever is necessary in the land of Egypt to bring my children out, they're going to know that I'm the Lord. And a thought came to my mind when I read that. Won't it be a wonderful day when the Lord says, I'm going to bring y'all out of Egypt and we're headed for Canaan. Yes, land. We're headed for Canaan's land. We won't have to worry about this mess no more. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. He finally got through their hard head, didn't he? He did as the Lord commanded. Then them so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, say, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And then, you know, he took it, and it came back to a rod. The thing of it is, Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing, and kindly lessened the miracle. And then we began to look at the plagues that put on the nation of Israel. You know, they turned the water into blood, and the frogs and the lice and all those things that happened. But I want you to notice one more thing before we get a little bit deeper into this. As the plagues are coming on the nation of Israel, and the Jews are in a land in Israel that was the richest land in all the region, is where the Lord sent them. He don't mess around. He gives his children the best. He put them in the land of Goshen. And something happened in the land of Goshen while all these plagues were going on. Let me call your attention to a couple of things as we go through here. And we get on deep into this, and the lice are on everywhere on man. And his magicians have been being brought in, and, you know, they'll do like things and make the miracle that Moses and Aaron just done of less value, so to speak. But in chapter number 8 and verse number 19, it talks about lies. Look what he said here. Look what they said. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Pharaoh, we can't do this. This is a work of God, and we can't match this. And then we go on to the flies. But I want you to look at verse number 22. And I was ever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. So what happened in Goshen where the nation of Israel dwell? Nothing. They didn't have to worry about all these plagues that were going on because God protected them. We don't realize today how much God protects us every day in this den of flies either. He's always there. He's always present. He's always taking care of us. And then we look at the bulls and the hail and all those things that the Lord put on them. And every time, the same old thing, they'd go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh would say, no, I'm not going to let my people go. But I want you to turn over with me to chapter number 10 and verse number 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be what? Felt. Darkness that may be felt. I remember when we used to deer hunt some. We deer hunted down Roanoke River in Halifax County. When we first went down there, we got an old school bus, and we tore all the seats out of it and made little bunk beds in there somewhere to lie down and rest a little bit. And it was right down in the middle of the woods, I mean, away from everything. And a lot of you don't remember Mr. Charles Parrish, but it was Martha Lou's husband. And he went with us one night, went in there and lay down and cut all the lanterns and everything out. We was lying there directly. Charles says, this is the darkest, the hinge is on midnight. I can put my thumb on my nose and can't see my fingers. I looked at this and I said, darkness that you could feel. Darkness that you could feel. And how long did it last? 3 days. A thick darkness in all the land of Egypt, 3 days. And they saw not one another. You're talking about can't see your hand in front of you with your thumb. They couldn't see one another. Absolutely no light. I guess their matches wouldn't strike and their lanterns wouldn't burn. Nothing. He then said they didn't see one another for 3 days. Neither rose from his place for 3 days. But what? But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. It's pretty good to be under the light of the Lord, ain't it? And as we walk through the darkness of this world, we can remember that we're under the light of an almighty God. He's watching over us. Amen. He's caring for us. And he's carrying us through whatever we face. And we know that we get on into the plagues until they finally come to the death angel when Pharaoh's going to let his people go. I just thought about something. If I can turn back for just a moment and find it, I want to read something to you. Bear with me just a minute because I'm not sure. I don't remember where it's at. I don't know where I can find it. But if I can, I want to read it when all this started. I know where it's at on the page, but I don't know where the verse is. Yeah, here we go. When this all began, when God is telling Moses, we go back to where we started a while ago, because we're back in this fourth chapter again, I want to read something to you that's a little bit unusual when I saw it. We have experienced the burning bush, and he's told him to go into Egypt, and those that sought his, He won't welcome back, and Moses won't welcome back into Egypt because, remember, he killed. That's where he ran. And when one was doing bad to one of his brothers, remember, he killed him. And God says here, it's okay, you can go back, all those are dead. And verse number 22, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, now, I apologize for not reading this first, because this is the beginning of something. I want you to look at what God said here. And I shall say unto Pharaoh, notice the tense, you shall say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now, I don't know the answer to all that. The only thing that I can think of, Israel is his firstborn nation, his beloved. Christ is his second earthly son, born earthly into a body. And the church is number three, born into the church, the body of Christ, the Trinity of his earthborn. But now I want you to look at verse number 23, what he tells. And he said, you say unto, and I say unto thee, he says, now when you go say to Pharaoh, this is what you say to him, before you've done anything, this is what you say to him. And you tell him that my people, Israel, are special. They're like my son, my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, what am I going to do? I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. When God says something, don't you think he fulfills it? He told Pharaoh that, buddy, if you don't listen to me, then your firstborn son is going to die before all this is over. And of course, we know Pharaoh didn't listen. I apologize for not reading that to start with. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Exodus, and let's begin to look at delivery in look at verse number 18. Now, the firstborn has died. Pharaoh has told the nation of Israel, says, get out of here. Take your mess and leave. And that reminds me of another verse I'm going to read to you. In the 10th chapter, Pharaoh makes this statement. And this is after the darkness, plague of darkness. Pharaoh said unto him, that is Moses, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou shalt see my face, thou shalt die. And Moses says, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again, no more. And we're down to the end, and the nation of Israel now is on their way out. And we're in chapter number 13. I want you to look at verse number 18. But God did what? Led. So who led them out? But God led the people out. And God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went out, harnessed out in the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. You remember that statement was made earlier, and it said they put him in a coffin. They did that so this could take place. Now they're going to carry the bones with them. And it says, he took his bones and took off. And it says, and they took their journey from Sukkoth and encamped in Ephraim in the edge of the wilderness. So they've headed on down toward the Red Sea, and they've encamped in the wilderness near the Red Sea. Now, let me show you something. I want to show you the Holy Spirit of the nation of Israel. Never had thought about it. Now listen, this is before they crossed the Red Sea. This, if they just come out of bondage, and they traveled from Egypt down to the Red Sea. And I want you to look at verse number 21. And the Lord went before them. Who went before? And how did he go? He said he went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Had never seen that before. That, to the nation of Israel, is their visible Holy Spirit. You and I, in this dispensation of grace, cannot see the Holy Spirit, but we feel the Holy Spirit. And He guides us and directs us. Now, I want you to notice in that statement, look at the latter part of that statement. He says, and He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. So did it ever go away? Never did it go away. Is the Holy Spirit ever going to leave you if you know Christ today? If you're saved by the marvelous grace? If you've been born again? If the Holy Spirit has birthed you? Then it's come into your heart and your soul. And it will never leave you, never leave you, until in the presence of God Almighty. And the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, God says, will never leave you, Israel. It's going to be with you day and night, continually from now on. And all you got to do is look to it for leadership, for direction, and for guidance. You're going to have Moses. God's going to put people. If you and I were somewhere by ourselves and we never had the gospel, if we didn't have the Word of God to read, or we didn't have anybody to preach to us the Word of God, if we couldn't listen to it on the radio, how long do you think we'd last? We'd be in terrible shape in a little while. It's an ever-present thing, And the Holy Spirit feeds us through the Word of God. But with the nation of Israel, it's going to be a visible thing. And any time that they see the cloud in the day and the pillar at night, they're going to feel and know of God's presence. And that is, I believe with all my heart, the form of the Holy Spirit. See, in the Old Testament, we said it didn't come in, it comes on, or it shows its presence. And they feel its presence. Well, here the whole nation of Israel is going to feel the presence of God's presence. Anytime they look, we're going to see something else about this pillar of cloud, too. And my time's gone. But at least I got that far. Amen. So we'll look a little bit more and watch the work of the pillar of cloud in the day, pillar of fire by night, in the work of the nation of Israel as God uses Moses to carry him on toward Canaan's land. God bless you and thank you for listening today.